friends. It's Friday. That's right. It's Friday, but we don't want you to get started with your weekend yet. We want you to stay with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani with Jerry Usher. And Jerry, we were just talking about how, thank goodness, it's Friday.
Yeah. I haven't had a TGIF moment like this for a lot of weeks now, but yeah, I'm ready for a weekend, actually. How about you?
Me too. Yeah. I want to get some, I'm into like purging, you know, getting rid of things. Mm-hmm. And I love the weekends to do that. Do you ever get like that? You just go through the closets and go through everything?
No? Yeah, I have spontaneous moments like that. But no, I haven't gone through my closet for a long time, and I would cringe if anyone listening ever saw it, because if I need a place to put something, I just throw it in there. I can hardly get in to get clothes out of it right now.
Oh my goodness. That's too funny. My kids used to do that.
I bet, yeah. But they probably grew out of it.
Yeah, true. No, but it's all good. Hey, you're young at heart. But today we're talking about, Jerry, this is the topic for today, this Friday. So we said, don't get started with your weekend yet. We need to hear from you at 1-833-288-3986. How have you honored someone's memory? Somebody you loved, somebody you cared about has passed. How do you celebrate their life? Keep their memory alive. How have you honored someone's memory? I think this is a great topic, Jerry. I know you put it on the show calendar. I'm glad you did. And I think it's a great way for us to reflect on all the people that we've loved and cared about, you know, that have gone on to their eternal rewards. And, you know, what do we do here to remember them?
Yeah, here's how you can join the conversation. The phone number is toll-free. It's 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. You can post on Facebook or YouTube, on social media. You can email take2@EWTN.com, comment on the website, take2show.com. And, yeah, this is what we're in the middle of July right now, and we always, Debbie and I, have show topics usually scheduled out for many weeks, actually. So I think this probably came to me, Debbie, you know, maybe a few months ago when the anniversary of my sister's death came along. And mm-hmm. What made me think about it is it was a very beautiful gesture. Some of her high school classmates had made a kind of a stone bench at a bus stop or somewhere in one of the, you know, small towns that we used to live in. And it's engraved, you know, Mary Dorsey, and it's just a tribute to her. And so I thought, wow, that's really a cool, creative, classy thing that they did to keep my sister's memory alive. So mm-hmm. There's really a million things that people could share about how they've kept the memory of a loved one alive.
So the number to dial is 1-833-288-3986. Share how you've kept that loved one's memory alive. This is a very good, I think, a healthy discussion we're going to have, and just makes us realize how important life is and to constantly remember it. And we're not disconnected. Don't think that, folks. You know, when your loved ones or your friends pass away, and that we are not separated. I mean, it's just a very thin veil that separates us. But Jerry, I don't think I've ever shared this. Have I ever shared this publicly, that what we did for my brother-in-law? You know my brother-in-law who was shot and killed.
How sad, yeah.
Yeah, 2009, it was all over the news, all around the country. So if you remember this, for many weeks it was on the news. I had people calling from all over, every state pretty much in the United States called and said, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that was your brother-in-law. My brother-in-law was a photo radar, worked for photo radar, and he was on the side of the road. That's when they had manned vehicles. And now, because of my brother-in-law, they no longer do that anymore. They don't have live human beings sitting in the vehicle. And my brother-in-law was doing reports and filling out reports, and this guy who's serving in jail now for the killing of my brother-in-law, he happens to be Catholic, by the way, which is just so sad. And but anyway, he had a real problem with these photo radars things happening, and so he was a little intoxicated or something of that nature. You know, he was under the influence of something, and he decided to pull out his gun and shoot up the van. He didn't realize my brother-in-law was in there, and fired several shots into my brother-in-law's chest. And he died a very tragic death. And so he was a golf pro, Jerry, and in Wisconsin for girls, he did a lot of work with the girls' golf team in Eau Claire. And so now they have a Doug Giorgiani Memorial Golf Tournament every year, and there's all sorts of benches that have been named after him at golf courses. And so, you know, his legacy stays alive.
Beautiful. And what a beautiful thing to come out of such a great tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's had to have been hard for you and Marty to live through and your entire family, but thanks be to God. His memory lives on, and my sister's memory lives on, and dear friends, whose memory lives on for you because of something either you have done or maybe somebody else did? And this could be maybe you have a loved one that you lost, and you just still celebrate their birthday with a party, you know, in their memory. Perhaps a lot of people, Debbie, have like a hall named after a loved one, or a parish, part of a parish, you know,
a lot of my wing. Mm-hmm.
Hospital wing, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah. And my parish, Sacred Heart in Palm Desert, has those, you know, the bricks in the ground.
Oh yeah,
and yeah, a lot of people are memorialized there. So, dear friends, how are you keeping the memory of a loved one alive? 833-288-3986. You drive the show.
That's the number to call. Please fill up the phone lines if you want to share something. Take a moment and think about the loved ones that have passed in your life and how you keep, like Jerry said, their memory alive. We want to hear from you. This is your show. What you have to say is very important, and others take comfort in what you have to say. They feel energized by what you share, by your life experiences. This is a peer ministry, folks. So please, I'm going to say it for the third time. Don't get started with your weekend yet, okay? There's plenty of time to get going with your weekend. Join us on the show at 1-833-288-3986.
Well, not only do you get to inspire us here on the program today, but you get a couple of other benefits as well. You get to honor someone's memory on a global radio show, and you get everybody praying for that person as well. So some side benefits there, but we really would like to hear from you. And I hope some of you have done this in a very maybe unique, very special way. This could really inspire other people to do similar things. So again, the phone number is 833-288-3986, or you can email take2@ewtn.com and get a hold of us in a lot of different ways. But Debbie, I've been looking forward to this show because I think it's a good way to end the week, just remembering those we love and how we do that on an ongoing basis.
Like I said, Jerry, it's very healthy. It's healthy for us to talk about this. And where are you going to talk about it? You're not going to do this maybe at the water cooler at work or something of that nature, but you can do it here on EWTN. So stay with us, 833-288-3986.
TGIF, Friday edition of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and you drive the program. Here you go. Here are the car keys. Call up at 833-288-3986. We'll get to your calls here in just a minute. I want to mention another really fantastic program that is a new addition to the EWTN radio programming lineup, and that is, it's called Dr. Doctor. It's Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Whatever you have going on your Saturday, either listen to this or try and tape the show somehow, or it'll be on demand, I'm sure, at the EWTN app and website. But Dr. Tom McGovern and many of his medical colleagues, basically, they look at the bioethical questions today and some of the things that doctors are facing, and just all these real, very important life issues that it seems like the culture of death is just ignoring, you know, God's law, divine law, natural law, and so forth. So it's a dynamic program, and it is very, very important. We need to be up on these issues. So check out Dr. Doctor, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Saturdays on EWTN Radio, most of these stations.
Oh, come on, Jerry. You have to go, Doctor, Doctor, right? Give me the news.
Give me the news. Yeah, right.
Hey, Jerry, you said TGIF. Isn't that like so 80s? Isn't that just such an 80s term?
You know you're feeling old when...
Oh, that was yesterday's show.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Folks, you guys are awesome. Every single phone line, look at you guys go. This is awesome. This is great way to start off the weekend. Aaron in Springfield, Virginia on the EWTN app. First time caller, you get the virtual bell. Welcome to Take Two.
Hello.
Hi,
Aaron.
So the way we've decided, or the way I decided to honor my father, he passed away four or five years ago. I should know that. But we decided that since our family all lives nearby, over, you know, the years we've had, our children have had three Christmas celebrations within a 24-hour period, going to, you know, my in-laws for Christmas Eve and then waking up with Christmas at our house and presents and church and then going off to my parents' home to have dinner. And it was all wonderful and great. But when my father passed away, they were teenagers and sleeping in. And I just really wanted to honor my dad somehow. And I've always wanted to serve people in need and bring my children closer to God through service. And I thought, what a better way to do it when I heard about at our local cathedral, the National Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, offers a program where they deliver meals to handicapped or elderly homebound people throughout the D.C. area. And I just thought that would be a great way to honor my father, who was sick, and his mother had benefited in life through Meals on Wheels program. And so I was really surprised when my teenagers were excited and said, sure, we'll get up early Christmas Eve on Christmas Day and drive around Washington, D.C. to strange places and homes. And it ended up being a wonderful experience. And so we have been doing that since. And they're now going off to college and dynamics are changing a little bit. But my husband and I are definitely going to continue this tradition. We really get a lot out of it, and we feel like we're making a great offering on one of the most, you know, holy days in honor of my dad. And what more could we do? So that's what we've done.
That's beautiful, Erin. And no question about it, your dad would be pleased. He probably is pleased. Thanks be to God. We can pray for his soul. And could we get his first name? If you listen to the program, you know, Debbie keeps, she does the writing. Sometimes I do the asking, but we keep a prayer book of living deceased from our listeners, and we'd be happy to add your father's name to that if you'd care to give us his first name.
Yes, thank you. His name is Terry.
Okay, Terry.
Terry.
Wow. Well, this is, I love the way you said, you know, that you were surprised at how your teenagers were just really happy to do this. And I think, you know, Erin, that's not something that just happens spontaneously. As you know, that was the fruit of the seeds that you and your husband and your entire family, your dad included, you know, had planted in those kids, and helping them to understand the need, the importance of serving others in need, especially on a wonderful day like Christmas. So Debbie, I think that is a beautiful tradition, and it sounds like it's there to stay in our family.
Oh, I totally agree. But Erin, I just wanted to focus on how you said, you know, at first with your kids, you know, you were, you know, a little bit shocked that they would be up for it. But it's so interesting because in youth ministry, I have seen it so many times that when the kids have a purpose, they love an adventure. They love a challenge. They love to be able to do something with meaning and purpose. And it's incredible. So it didn't surprise me at all that your children would be up for it, especially, given it that it's their grandfather, that they would be, you know, doing it in memory of. And I just think it's wonderful. I think more families should do stuff like that. I think it could build, so many great, you know, beautiful, habits and routines about remembering those that have departed. I think we've lost that art. We've lost the art of going to the gravesite and cleaning off the grave and putting flowers. We've lost that in our world. And to bring back anything we can do to respect the memory of the people that we loved and honor them and in such a generous way, I think is beautiful. So I just want to say, I think that's awesome. I think it helped other families today, probably, Erin.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else, Erin?
It's just such a good feeling to be giving to others on a day when our children get so much. It really makes a wonderful impact, and maybe not necessarily on Christmas Day, but any other time, just bringing your kids along and exposing them. And now as they're going off to college, I notice, you know, my daughter wants to go into nursing, and she's been helping the elderly in a nursing home, and my son's considering social work. So it's sort of seeds and exposure, and I hope that their lives are going to continue to serve others in the Lord's name. So
Yeah. It sure sounds like it.
So a sad situation really blossomed for us. You know, that first Christmas was tough. But we made lemonade out of lemons.
Out of lemons, yeah, right.
So thank you for allowing me to share that.
You're welcome, Erin. Thanks for doing what a great way to start our calls today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Have a blessed weekend. Today on the program, we are talking about honoring our loved one's memory, and especially if it was in some sort of unique, creative way, or maybe it's just something that your family has always done and the loved one passed away and just still do it as if they were there. 833-288-3986. We have Lisa in San Antonio listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on Guadalupe Radio. Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Hi, can you hear me?
Just fine. You're coming through loud and clear.
Okay. I was going to say what we did for my mom. She was a big advocate for education. So after she passed away, and I'm a teacher, what we started to do was we developed a scholarship that we would give to a student at the, a senior that was graduating. So we named the scholarship in her honor, which I give to I give to a student that is in need, so that they can continue their education. I think she would have been really happy that, because she encouraged us to do that, and all of us got our education. So that's how we're honoring my mother.
Wow. That, that's one of the important things, is education and scholarships. And that is, it's a very common thing. How have the kids, talk about some of the beneficiaries of that scholarship and what that's meant for them, Lisa?
Well, I think, because he wanted to make sure that, we didn't want to, so to speak, advertise that we were giving the scholarship. So what we did is that the first year I did it, I let an organization handle it. And they gave the scholarship to an individual that already had a full ride, not necessarily a student that could use it. So after that, I decided that I would pick the student. So what I did was to avoid that kind of issue was I would, pick the student, but I would go directly to the parent and say, I'm going to give the scholarship to you for them, because I knew they already had they were going to college and what school and all that. I said, but the only stipulation is that the kid does not know and you did not pass on the scholarship who it came from. I wanted to remain anonymous, and all the parents were shocked, and they said, okay, if that's what your wish is, so that's kind of how we done that. And all the kids that have done it are, as a matter of fact, I have one that will, for all former students, one is graduating from a college here, she's going to be a teacher. Another one just graduated from, she wants to go on and be a doctor. One is going to go into criminal justice. So they're all continuing their education. And although it wasn't a big amount, it was something that helped the parents at that particular time. So, education, when you put money in education, I don't think it's ever wasted.
Absolutely not. And as Debbie always says, if you hear the show often, Lisa, she says that heaven's going to have a special place. What is it, Debbie? For
teachers.
Nurses and teachers, right?
Nurses, teachers, first responders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, maybe we can get your, if you don't mind, Lisa, we'd love to have your mom's first name in our book so that we can add her and part of our daily prayers, the Global Take Two family.
It's Cruz, and it's spelled C-R-U-Z.
Okay, you were down just a little bit there for a second. The first name again? Or Cruz. Cruz is her first name? Okay.
Beautiful.
Yes, C-R-U-Z.
Beautiful.
Wow. And I totally agree with you, Lisa. Education, I mean, it's key. And to continue just remembering your mom through having this wonderful scholarship program, wow, that I think that's huge. And that's going to benefit people for many, many generations. And I think it's wonderful. Wow. That's we need to do more of that, I think, because then people really, they realize the importance of people that have gone before them and have passed. And, it's a healthy way to bring it back full circle. Wouldn't you say, Jerry, to remember those who have, gone before us and have done things great in their life. And now we are all benefiting from it.
Yeah. And I think it's a very good incentive for the students who receive that. I remember upon graduating from high school at graduation night, I received two or three scholarships to go to broadcasting school, and I don't remember if any of them were named after somebody or not, and one was like a local Kiwanis Club or something. But, I went with those scholarships, Debbie, and I thought, I've really got to put my best into this. Mm-hmm. I've got to really apply myself, because these are people who got behind me and have inspired me, and
That's
so
right.
I've got to go out and, be worthy of those scholarships, if you will.
So. Yeah, you got to live up to it. You got to do your part. Yeah, I think it's great. Thank you, Lisa, so very much. And we put your mom, Cruz, in our book. And wow, this was good today. Thank you for making that call and sharing your mom's story.
Okay, we have Angela next.
Thank you.
Bless you, Lisa. Thank you. Also in Dallas, we're going to go up north a little ways from San Antonio. Listening on Guadalupe Radio is Angela. Hi, Angela. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on this Friday.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Very well. Very well. You're coming in loud and clear.
Okay. Okay. My mother passed away about 12 years ago, and she has four of us kids, two boys and two girls, and we all grew up in Los Angeles, having family reunions. I mean, it was my mom was one of eight, and we always went to them. So to us, the idea of family reunions has been integral. But since then, I've got one brother in Los Angeles and one brother in Georgia and another one in Missouri, and I'm in Texas, so we're way apart. But about 4 years ago, we started to something happened that there was a concert basically in one of the kids' towns, and my mother always wanted to go, and my sister started emailing us all, let's do this for mom because she always wanted to see this band, so let's do this for mom. So that became the first reunion. Ever since then, we're looking for things that mom always wanted to do, and the four of us get together, even though we're in different parts of the country, sometime in June, and have a family reunion somewhere where mom, like this year was Yellowstone, because there was a certain geyser going off that she always wanted to see, so we went and saw it for us. So, but we're kind of trying to doing that, like mom's bucket list that we're all doing together, and making it now the annual reunion.
Right, right. I love that. Did you mention your mom's name? Because we're adding our loved ones
Barbara.
To the book. I'm sorry?
Barbara.
Okay. I love that. So who gets to, I mean, do you all just get together and just, do you have her whole list out already? Or are you just kind of figuring out?
We just remember it.
You remember it. Yeah. I love it.
We just remember. But I think really the central thing for her, she always stressed your family, mm-hmm. You know, the importance of staying together and how much she loved to go to our family reunions that we did in Los Angeles for all of our life. So we thought, you know what, we can do this together with us. And we're showing it to our kids, too, which is fantastic for us because all of our kids don't know each other through the year because we live so far apart. But
right.
This last year, they actually started playing together, having fun, and they see the big family and how, you know, well we get along together and things. So they've got a good sense of, a much better sense of family, you know. Too.
Well, you just have to imagine. Yeah, you just have to imagine, Angela, that if the good Lord allows it, Barbara is looking down going, there's my kids. That's awesome. They're doing it. And I think that's great. And see, that's going to build better memories for the kids, for the grandkids and everything. And it's also going to continually keep you guys together and connected and celebrating your mom's life and her legacy. I think that's wonderful. Way to go. I hope you have many more adventures with your family, Angela.
Thank you.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way you put that, Debbie. You know how the younger people, the younger kids and grandkids are going to really learn about their mom and their grandmother, and this is going to be a great way for them to keep her a memory aflame in their hearts as well. We've got let's see, one open phone line that Angela was on. The others are all taken here, so we will try and get to each and every one of you as quickly as we can. Just I had an email, and I don't think, Debbie, I have time to read it right now until we come back from the other side of the pause here. But Allison, Allison's with us. Good. And we got Margaret and Alma and Alex and Margie. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We are talking about keeping someone's memory alive. Keeping someone's memory alive. How do you do that with a family member, a friend, a parent, a spouse? We got a beautiful, beautiful story of an email that we're going to get to here on the other side of the break from Audrey and so much more on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Please stay with us.
Jerry and Debbie, we're hearing some great examples of how to honor somebody's legacy, and I think it's just wonderful. Jerry, I just have to say, I probably shouldn't even bring this up, but you know, you get some kind of, I think, wacky, really disrespectful ways of remembering our loved ones that have passed. I mean, you've heard the stories of people that, you know, want to preserve people's ashes and jewelry and stuff like that. And that's so against what we teach in the church. And it's just not respectful, but we're hearing real life examples of ways to really respect those in such a more meaningful and deeper way and a long lasting way. And I just encourage folks to please don't buy into these whole new little newfangled ways of trying to remember your loved ones, because they're not healthy for us and it's not respectful. And it's not in line with church teaching. I just had to say that, Jerry, because I know that a lot of people, you know, we our loved ones go, and you know, we're trying to think of ways to hang on to them.
Right. Yeah. Well, obviously, cremation is allowed. I think what you're talking about is just what scattering ashes or doing, you know,
scattering ashes. Mm-hmm. And they retain some ashes, and then now there's jewelry being made with the ashes and everything. It's just not.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't following what you were saying about that. Yeah, that is. It's just kind of weird, actually.
Well, yeah, but you know, but we're hearing real life examples right now that are beautiful and wholesome and good and mm-hmm. respectful. You know, and I just want folks to realize, you know, the Catholic Church has it right. You know, if you're unsure about something, or you're grieving, or you're going through a tough time, turn to the catechism, you know, learn what the church teaches, and you'll see that the church has got it right. They want you to have they want you to experience life and to have it to the full, but to do it the right way. And we're hearing real life examples of that.
Yep. We're going to hear some more right now on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We'll go to Alex. Alex is in Dallas, and we welcome Alex to the program. A first time listener, I believe. Hello, Alex. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, thank you.
Hi there.
For having me this morning.
You bet. Good morning. Was I right about that, first-time listener?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I mean, sir.
Oh, okay, good. Well, glad you could be with us. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my story is about this girl I grew up with my entire life. Her name was Grace, and time to time, she basically would end up disappearing from school and everything, and none of us knew why. And you know, it made me worried. I kind of thought maybe she moved away, or maybe she's just hanging out with other people. You never know. But it wasn't until the end of my sophomore year I found out that she passed away on the last day of school, which was June 1st, 2018 for me. And it was not the easiest thing for me to figure out that she was actually suffering from cancer her entire life, and she didn't want to, you know, tell anyone about it, because she didn't want to be known as, like, you know, the cancer patient and everything. She wanted to be known as just one of the teenagers. And, you know, I respect that. Being someone with high-functioning autism and ADHD, I fully respect that, because I just want the same thing. Going to her funeral was the hardest thing I ever had to go to. It was not easy just seeing photos of her and just being like, dang, God, I miss you so much. You know, me and my other friend group and everything that we all spend time with her with, we all have the same impact. And for Christmas, her first Christmas that she was gone, the mother of the passing daughter, she made us all little lanterns with bumblebees in them, because in our group we had little like symbols, emojis that went with us. Like, I was a panda and hers was a little bumblebee, and we all have like cute little, we all little like lanterns with like our little symbol and bumblebee lights all around it. And it was just an icing on the cake. And I light that up every night, and I pray that she's doing great and that heaven's doing her good. And I want her to know how much I miss her and everything. It really sucks that she died so early, but she fought one heck of a battle, and I'm just proud of how much she conquered and everything. I hope she's listening right now. I sincerely doubt she is, but I hope she is secretly.
Well, Alex, you sound like you were a great friend of Grace's. How old were you when she passed, and what year was this?
I was 16, and she was 16 as well. This was June 1st, 2018. She was actually born on 9/11.
Wow, she was born on 9/11. Wow. And so she
9/11 baby.
Okay, so she just passed. So this has been her year anniversary then?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
This is the first summer without her, and it's kind of strange, but mm-hmm. I know she's doing great up in heaven. She's probably partying with God right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, well, we put Grace in our book, so please know that the Take-Two family will continue to pray for her soul and her family and everything. And that this is interesting. So this is why I'm getting this feeling. So take it for what it's worth, Alex. Have you spoken to her mom recently? And you may want to reach out and just, I feel it strongly. You may want to reach out and share, just touch base with her mom. Have you done that recently?
I have not. I do not have her mother's number, but at her funeral, she basically did look me in the eye and just held me like I was her daughter, and mm-hmm. told me Grace did all these things while she was living. Like, it was going to be the last day of her work. She went skydiving. She traveled the world. She went swimming with sharks. Every time you basically do something crazy and exotic like that, do mm-hmm. it for her. And I just bring that word to me every day now, and I plan to actually maybe get a inking of that on my arm. It's like a small tattoo that says "Do it for Grace" and everything, as a reminder of her and her story, and just remember to live life like there's going to be no tomorrow, and that inspired me.
Live in the moment, yeah, Alex. If you're up for the challenge, if you can try to maybe go on Facebook or something, or try to get your mom's number, given that it's just past the year anniversary, I feel strongly that she would love a call from you and just share that you had shared Grace's memory on a global radio program. I just think it would really go a long way for her mom. I don't know why, I just feel it strongly, but you know, if you decide to do it, let us know how that turned out. But usually when we get these, Jerry knows, when we get these promptings by the Spirit, we got to go with it because the Spirit's always moving. What do you think, Alex? Are you up for the challenge?
I think I'll be up for the challenge.
Cool.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you, Alex,
thanks
for the call.
Thanks for having me on the radio.
Yeah, you're very, very welcome. Deb, that was a great Holy Spirit moment there. Thank you for following the prompting of the Holy Spirit and mentioning that, because you're right. I think her mother, everybody, the 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year anniversary mm-hmm. of the passing of a loved one really can be going through a tough time, especially since it's been so recent for her, Grace's mom. So
that's right.
And I know you wrote Grace in the prayer book, which is probably the easiest name for you to remember that you've ever written in there, because you love
Grace.
It's
my favorite name. It's my favorite name, Alex. I named everything Grace. Our ministry is named Tri Grace Ministries. My husband's work is Grace Realty. My dog is named Grace. You know why? Because it's all about Grace. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Alex, so very much. And Jerry, you know what? There's no accident with God. Okay. God is always working in everybody's life and working through people and working through the media and what we're doing here on EWTN. And so we have to go with it. If we don't, we are stopping. We are really physically stopping the Spirit. And that's, I had a priest friend tell me all the time, don't do that. Let the Spirit go, you know?
Yeah. Well, you do that well. Thank you again for your call. And Debbie, thank you for being open to the Holy Spirit there. I wanted to mention Audrey's email that I had talked about several minutes ago. Audrey says, hello. Hi, Jerry and Debbie. Earlier this week, our parish celebrated the massive Christian burial for a beautiful, holy woman who died after a 5-month battle with cancer at the age of 48. She was the mother of 7 beautiful saints, ages 3 through 18. If anyone I know will ever be a saint, it is her. During her time of sickness, she offered all of her pain and suffering to our Lord for many intentions, including other patients in the hospital and her doctors as they worked to heal others while she was waiting for her own care. As I said, she left behind her husband and 7 young children. My husband and I are looking for suggestions as to ways we can honor her in a way that would be pleasing and memorable for her young children, and also for her husband as he works to raise them. They are all homeschooled and had a very close relationship with their mother. And Audrey from Ohio emailed back a second time, said her name is Chantal. Debbie, if you want to put that in the book, Chantalle, Chantal, it looks like. And so she had a great love for those in the priesthood and religious life, with many priests, deacons, and religious at her funeral. So she thinks that incorporating that in a way to honor her would be a fitting way. So that's what Audrey's going to do for her friend Chantal.
And they haven't figured out specifically what they want to do yet?
It says in the first email she's waiting for suggestions. So do you have anything?
yeah, I would pray about it. Absolutely. Yeah. Ask the saints to help you with that, to reveal how to remember her in a beautiful way that would be, like you said, meaningful to her, you know, and also that can help others and inspire others. Pray about it. Take time. Discern about it. You know, for my brother-in-law, for instance, we didn't have to pray. Okay. He was a golf pro. So everything revolved around golf. If there was a golf course, there was something with Doug Giorgiani on it. Okay. So we didn't have to really think too much about it. But, you know, when you have somebody that has different passions, like, you know, the priesthood or homeschooling or something like that, you know, put that all into the discernment, into your prayer process and see what the good Lord reveals to you. I think I think that's the healthiest way, Jerry.
Yeah, and of course, you and I both, and most of our listeners, all of our listeners probably, love the fact that she is trying to incorporate something about priesthood and religious life, especially as we suffer through the pain of what's going on in the church right now. So many, you know, the huge, huge, huge majority of our priests have never done anything like the abuse and so forth. So we're going to pray, Audrey, that you come up with something really, really inspired by the Holy Spirit, because I'm sure that you will.
And so, let us know, because we'll be praying. Yeah.
Okay, where are we going next?
Alma in Del Rio, Texas on Sirius XM 130. You didn't get started with your weekend yet. You're joining us on Take Two. Welcome. Hi, Alma.
Hello.
Hi, Alma.
I'm so glad to talk to you all. I listen to you all the time. And you know what? I just felt like I needed to call and let you all know. It's not something that I do, but something that I totally appreciate. My brother passed away after a heart transplant 4 years ago, and he was very, very active with the church, especially with the young people, to the extent where the young people affectionately called him El Viejillo, which is Spanish for the old man. My brother was in his 60s, so, you know, they considered him an old man, but cool. Anyway, when he passed away, my sister-in-law has kept his memory alive because every year she gives a scholarship. She sponsors a scholarship through the church for some graduating senior who is also active in the church, because we're very lucky with our parish. We have a lot of young people participating in a lot of different ministries. And so the competition is tough. There are a lot of ministries that have donations, that supply donations and scholarships and all for graduating seniors. But my sister-in-law is one, and it is called the El Viejillo Scholarship. And I just feel that as long as this is happening, his memory is alive. And that's what I wanted to share.
Alma, that's beautiful. You have a beautiful name. That was my grandmother's name, Alma. So I love your name, but
really?
I don't know if you mentioned your the first name of your was it your brother?
Brother.
Yeah.
Yes, it was my brother. Yes.
Yeah, you mentioned
his name was Robert.
Robert. Okay. Robert. Yeah, that was cute. The way you call him, what was it? The Spanish word for old man or something? He wasn't all that old, unfortunately. But yeah.
But you know, young people. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, there was one time when one of the young kids was with her parents, and she saw him, and she stuck her head out the window and hollered, "Viejillo!" And her parents started getting mad at her. "Are you crazy? What lack of disrespect?" And this and this and that. And he came up to the car and said, "Don't worry, they all call me that. That's my nickname."
Oh, how cute.
She's not trying to offend me. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like, yeah, your efforts to get the young people, you know, a scholarship or something, especially if they're more involved in the church. Boy, that's just, Debbie, that's, you know, getting two things for one really right there, helping advance in education and also encouraging involvement in the church, which we definitely all want to do for our young kids.
Well, and you said Robert was active in the church, right, Alma?
Very, very, very active. He, he was one of the main leaders for the young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And also he worked a lot of retreats, both for men and for young teenagers.
Beautiful. Wow, beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. When your sister-in-law does this scholarship, does she have a logo for your brother's scholarship? Is there a logo?
It's called El Viejillo.
Okay, but is there a picture? Is there a picture attached to it, any type of picture?
A graphic or something.
Yeah. A graphic? The reason why
I don't remember, Debbie. I don't remember because I just know she does it. And on the day when the scholarships are going to be given out, she's there, and, you know, once in a while I'll go with her, and they call out the different ministries giving scholarships, and then they'll call out El Viejillo, and she gets up and gives her scholarship.
Well, I don't know.
I have no idea.
Okay, so here it goes. I don't know why. I mean, I'm telling you, sometimes this is the way the Holy Spirit works. It's just like the Holy Spirit just goes. You said your brother had a heart transplant and he had passed. You may want to just think about and pray about the idea of incorporating a graphic of a heart, Alma. I don't know why I'm saying it, but I don't know if you have any experience with that or something keeps popping up, but I don't think there's any accident with that. I just don't. In fact, I circled it as I was making the notes for Robert. When you said a heart transplant, there's something very evident about the heart issue. So I just wanted to share that with you in case that ever pops up or something comes up and somebody, you know, brings up hearts or something. It could possibly maybe be tied into the scholarship. Okay.
Yes, I will really take that to heart, and I'm going to look into it, and I'm going to contact my sister-in-law, and we can work on this.
Cool.
Awesome.
We can work on this. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
thank you,
I'll
Alma.
Let you go. I know you have other people to listen to, and I'm really enjoying all these stories. I really am. So may God bless you, and may God reward you for the beautiful job that y'all do.
Thank you, Alma.
I listen to y'all all the time.
Oh, God bless you.
You have a wonderful day. God bless
you.
You
too. Have a great weekend. Keep us in your prayers. Debbie and I and the show team, Rich, Jeff, Ryan is back on the phones today. Always appreciate your prayers in our direction as well. Here's the number, 833-288-3986. Debbie, if I may, another email, which actually flows right perfectly after that call from Alma.
Yeah, let's read it.
Yeah, this is Anne via email. Hi, Anne. She says, my granddaughter, Maya, I think it's probably Maya, was 23 years old, and on her way home 2 years ago this month, she tragically lost her life. She struck a moose in the highway, and Anne tells us that her organs were donated. Her heart is living on in another person's chest. We honor her as an angel giving life to others. So how's that for a beautiful, 1-2 punch there with Alma's call, huh?
Wow. That's amazing. The Holy Spirit, I'm telling you that it's Father Larry Richards. I mean, he talks about it all the time. You know, we've got to tap into the third person of the Trinity. It's truly incredible what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives and just connect all the dots for us. I love it. Wow. That was an amazing email. Do we have more social media and emails coming in? Cause I don't have my screens up. I can't see it.
Don't see any right now, but okay. Always available. Yeah.
Always time. Okay, yeah. Allison in Warren, New Jersey. Our Stand Tall Allison on EWTN app. Hi, Allison. Welcome.
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. So good to
hi,
talk
Allison.
To you guys.
Likewise.
Hi. Hi. We have, and I say we, my son and a few other people, and I are involved with a nonprofit that my son and another young man founded called righttobreathe.org, and the number 2 right in the middle, just like Jerry, take 2. We founded Right to Breathe because my husband had COPD. He passed away 3 years ago. You have his name. It was Chuck. And Chuck was passionate about drag racing. This isn't going to sound connected, but it is. We would go to the races all the time and watch. He did race for a little bit, but then when our kids came along, we stopped. But my son, Joe, through the Holy Spirit, just working, and St. Joseph, I'm convinced of it, in the last few years had an opportunity to inherit from a friend of his a race car that he started using as a communication tool through a chance conversation with this other racer friend. They were talking about Chuck's difficulties and say, well, everybody has a right to breathe. Well, there was the beginning of our mission and the beginning of our logo. What we do is initially we targeted folks in the motorsports industry because they are at very high risk. COPD is the third leading cause of death in the United States. Some people have never even heard of it. But the motorsports industry initially was our target audience. My son is using the race car as a communication tool. The logo is right on there. And what we're doing, and nobody else is doing this, is we're doing free lung screenings. We have a pharmaceutical company on board that loans us the equipment. People breathe into a machine. There's little disposable mouthpieces. As a matter of fact, we're doing it tonight at a cruise night in Somerville, New Jersey, down at the far end of town. And we have done lung screenings in a number of places. The whole point of it is that we want people to, who maybe think that they're oh, I'm short of breath because I'm a little out of shape, or, oh, I need to lose weight. When people have the lung screening, and if their numbers are off, they have an opportunity to take that to their doctor and see if there's anything else going on and be able to make decisions about their life if they need to make lifestyle changes. The biggest event we've had so far was at something called the Four Wide Nationals down in North Carolina. And over the course of a weekend, we actually screened over 450 people. And
wow,
young and old. It's not just COPD, it's people with any kind of lung-related diseases.
Right, but Allison, may I stop you for 1 second? Because I just want to say something, because you said something I want to just make sure we highlight it for our listeners' sake. The beauty of what you and Joe, your son, have done with this wonderful nonprofit, Right to Breathe, is you're helping other people. But through that, I'm sure each time you give folks the test, you know, to help them, you know, get the right diagnosis or whatever that they're going through, you're thinking of the fact that Chuck has gone through this, okay, suffered from COPD. And you know what? I think the wonderful thing about that is that now you're doing this wonderful ministry. I call it a ministry because it's nonprofit. Okay. You're doing this wonderful ministry, but at the same time, while you're helping, it's like Chuck is helping them, you know, and that's the beauty of what you're doing. I have to say that. I don't think I've ever said that to you before. That's what I've, as you're speaking, it just dawned on me that it's really, you know, you guys are doing it. You're doing the actual work, but Chuck is helping them. And I think that is a wonderful way to keep his memory alive. I just have to say that. Jerry, what do you think?
I think it's beautiful, too. I would just echo everything that you said. And Allison, I don't know if you had any just closing quick comments. We got to about 30 seconds or so, or maybe about a minute till we hear the closing music here.
Well, I really thank God for this opportunity. The Lord has put people in our path that are helping us on this journey. I ask for people to pray for Joe because he's almost on the verge of being able to do this full time. Mm. He makes it a point to connect with doctors, with pharmaceutical companies. He's learned how to write grants, proposals, and we want to get out there and do this. Chuck was involved at the very beginning of this. We actually had, through God's grace, we had somebody do a free video for us. If anybody wants to see it, it's called the Right to Breathe Project, and it's on YouTube, and Chuck is in the video if you ever wanted to see it. But we're so grateful because this was his goal. He was diagnosed late. And as this started to come together, it was like, yeah, you know, he was very limited, ultimately succumbed to the disease, but he's making a difference. And we're just really grateful for how this is coming together for all the people out there. We want to be able to make a difference. So there you go.
Good. I was just making a note of that. Actually, I think I found it. The Right to Breathe Project. Is that what you said it was, Allison, on YouTube?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm going to check out the YouTube, too.
When they did that, that was the day I had my hip surgery, so I wasn't. And it's wonderful. I've got a new life. I've got a new hip. It's great. But Chuck is in it. Joe is in it. They talk about how the whole thing came about. There's two other people in there. I'm going to shout out to Vernon Pertel, who is a respiratory therapist, who is an entrepreneur. he actually gave us a conserving device for Chuck's oxygen tank so they could take him to the races, he could enjoy the sport he loved, and the tanks would last longer.
Wow.
And there's a doctor.
Awesome.
Beautiful. Awesome. Well, we're going to be seeing you soon at the pilgrimage, Allison. Can't wait. We're going to Stockbridge, Massachusetts, the Divine Mercy Shrine and the North American Martyrs Shrine in Orrisville, New York. So, guys, want to join us? Just email us at take2@EWTN.com.
And we got an email from Madison, Stanthal Madison. They honor the memories of their two miscarriages, and she sent a gorgeous picture of Augie, their little 11-month-old boy.
Aww.
He is such a cutie and got a beautiful smile on his face. So thank you for that, Madison. We got the best of tomorrow at noon Eastern, and we are back live on Monday. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed weekend.